Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all a happy Friday. And this is an absolutely broiling hot day today, hot July day here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, on the 29th day of July. And we are thanking God that we're in an air-conditioned studio right now to conduct an interview with somebody that I have been urged to interview. And when I listened to his music, I couldn't agree with that recommendation more. His name is Jason Truby. He is former lead guitarist for Living Sacrifice, a former member of POD, and a performer with Phil Keggy. He's got a new CD out that we're going to be talking about, and he actually is the guitar instructor to the son of a very close friend of mine. For those of you who listen to Iron Sharpens Iron regularly, you know that one of my dearest friends on the planet Earth is Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. His son Joshua is being trained in the guitar by our guest Jason Truby. And Joshua is quite a remarkable young man in his own right, having a high-level belt, perhaps even a black belt by now, in the Israeli martial arts. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron, Jason Truby.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me, man. I love the intro to the show, and really look forward to talking with you.
And let me right off the bat let our listeners know of our email address here if they'd like to listen to the program. I mean, if they'd like to participate in the program with a question of their own for Jason. The email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Those of you who tuned in at 4 o'clock, you recognized that there was something else playing for about 11 or 12 minutes. That's because we had, once again, experienced overseas technical difficulties with our server, and I'm not even sure what that means. I don't know if a waiter in Bangladesh was having a problem at a foreign server. I'm not really sure what that's all about. But I'm just glad that the Lord has us working again, has the technical problems resolved, at least for now. And I am just delighted to have you on, brother. I've been listening to your music and been very blessed by it. In fact, this proves the fact that James White loves your music. It proves that he has far more sophisticated taste in music than he does in food. I don't know if you know James, but he basically doesn't get much far beyond Taco Bell Time and McDonald's as far as his taste buds go, but
maybe it'll kind of shockwave into the food world a little bit, and good food, good music, good relationships. I think you're living a good life.
Well, before I even start with our interview, I want to I want our listeners to have their appetites whetted by hearing at least one of your songs to start with. And this is acoustic guitar that Jason is basically a master in. I know that he might be embarrassed by me saying that, but I'm just want to give our listeners a little taste of what Jason is doing, and hopefully that will even get you more sales as in regard to your songs. But
well, thank you.
But here we go, and Be Thou My Vision.
Good one.
Amen. That was Be Thou My Vision, performed by Jason Truby. If you've just tuned us in, Jason Truby is former lead guitarist for Living Sacrifice, former member of POD, and performer with Phil Keggy, and he has a new CD out called Hymns. And before we play more of his music, I would like to have Jason give us your testimony, the upbringing you had, the religious background you were raised in, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd love to. Real quick, I don't know if you knew this, but that song was written in the 8th century. I don't know
if
you knew that.
No, I did not, but I always thought that it had a minstrel flavor to it.
Yeah, it was written in the 8th century, and they're not sure the author, and then it was translated by Eleanor Hull, probably maybe a couple hundred years ago. But that the lyrics particularly to that tune... you know, thou my great father and thy true son. And it just, that's why I played four stanzas through it to keep it. Anyway, but, neat little nugget about that song.
Yeah.
Just one of my favorites. we were talking a little bit earlier off the air. I'll kind of pick up there, but I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, and was kind of an artistic kid and did painting and sculpting real quiet in school, and was raised Catholic originally. And my parents left the Catholic Church when I was about 9 or 10 years old. And, that led us kind of through a pretty interesting little journey for me personally. But I have to mention a little bit that music was involved in the process, because I got my first guitar not much after leaving the Catholic Church. I was probably about 12. But in the transition time, you kind of go as a kid and you go through what you're taught and your way of life is established and you're kind of taught to defend your way of life. And, my parents, took us to, a concert, which was not the norm back then. And it was Dallas Holmes. I don't know if you remember Dallas.
Oh yeah. I remember, Dallas Holmes in the 80s when I became a born again believer in Christ. He was one of the brethren that I used to listen to, and I think I may have even seen him perform live at the Smithtown Tabernacle.
Yeah, well, we happened to, and here we are at the show, and all I remember is, he was a piano player, and then he played this song about Jesus, and it was something about, I'll rise again, ain't no power on earth can keep me down, something like that, many, many, many years ago. And then he had an invitation at the end of this concert, which was a little bit foreign to me, but me and my older brother, stood up. I was like, of course, who would want to know, this guy, Jesus? At first, I felt sorry for him, just from the story, just to be honest with you. Then as a kid, it was like, hey, he did this so you could know God. And if you want to know him, you can come and invite him into your life. And so that first step, although I really did not understand the magnitude of it, but I know that going down at that moment is when the Lord snatched me and marked me. And I truly believe that. Now, there was a long, riddled, struggle journey after that, but that started it, and there was music for me kind of in the center of it. And so then getting into the musical journey and then going through, ended up at a Christian academy after the Catholic school. And then I ended up at a Baptist school and then left my senior year because my first band, Living Sacrifice, got signed when I was in high school still. So I went to the public school. Yeah, I know. And so I had to go. They wouldn't let me leave, which was frustrating, to record it in Nashville. And so I went to a public school my senior year and kind of got the secular curriculum, which was interesting compared to what I had been through. And, my journey at that point, my parents had went to kind of maybe some of the movements that were happening through the 80s and kind of the non-denominational label stuff. But the search was real, and it just brought me to a lot of philosophical, personal debates and questions about the validity of things. But I was always seeking, and I think at the core, artists were like that. I'm looking. Anything that I did, even on the negative side of things, was not just for a good time. I was seeking an encounter or an experience. And so I think just knowing that, I knew the truth and I believed the truth of Jesus, but I just felt like maybe I hadn't fully walked through the door or that I was missing something. And I just felt like there was something not there. And I began to study music on my own and train in music. And I'd write down the patterns and the modes of music. And then through a very dear friend who's an artist, and he's still a very close friend of mine, he'd say, hey, go read this. And we'd go into Genesis and read about the days of creation. And he'd go, look at the modes of music. And then go read this in Daniel and look what he's talking about. And then go read. And through that process, and it wasn't a specific moment, but there was a true moment, over that period of time where I began to concede to, there is a really big order here that is bigger than me and beyond me. And I really do think that Jesus is a way for me to connect to this, and that what he did will allow the Holy Spirit to come in my life. And then that's kind of I know that's kind of a broad stroke there, but that started to happen and has continued to unfold over time. And I haven't stopped since.
Amen. Let me backtrack a little bit about when you first picked up an instrument and how quickly did you discover that you really had some kind of an innate talent for the instrument, and perhaps it wasn't even the guitar that you first picked up. I don't know, but tell us about that.
Well, it was the guitar. I mean, I always had an affinity for music because I felt like that it was capturing something that I felt inside of me that language couldn't. And I felt the same thing about art. But when you know, my dad worked really hard to get us private school education, and in some other areas we just had to do without. And so I was not able to get any training. And so, to be honest with you, Chris, I don't know, other than the Lord, and I don't say that loosely, I don't know how I learned how to tune it. Like, I just had the guitar, and I would go in, and I'd put in cassettes, and I would listen to the radio, and I started to see the patterns on the fretboard, and then I would imitate it, and within the first 3 or 4 months, I had picked out, and I just understood how chords looked. I didn't know the names, and so I came up with my own name system, because I was only, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. And then I knew, like, all of a sudden, I hear classical music, and I thought, oh, man, I can pick that out. And so note by note, and it might take me 8 hours in a day, and I'd pick out, like, a Bree and E minor. And then I had some of Phil Keaggy's music and some other guitar players' music and some jazz. And so for hours and hours, and I was just kind of obsessed, probably, was just compelled to go after this. And I would detune it incorrectly to do the things I wanted to do because I didn't have a teacher to tell me that you're not supposed to do that. And, anyway, I think really quick to answer your question, I think within the first 3 months, I knew this was something that I wanted to come through me. And then I, as a teenager, I still had to deal with all of the things that happened. Like when I did see great players, I remember seeing Phil Keaggy when I was 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I coveted the way he played.
And he's missing at least one finger, isn't he?
Yeah, he's missing a finger on his right hand.
Right.
But I still felt that, like, then I being a little bit of a deeper thinker as a kid, I just thought, well, why do I want that? And so some of my motives were wrong. And just working that out that, hey, this is not to be worshipped, but it's to serve. And the whole perspective began to change. And, you know, that maturity process takes time. But here's this institution, and I knew that, okay, now I'm not going to try to play the fastest, most intricate thing. And much like this album that you're playing today, it's not a show-off album at all, and mm-hmm. I didn't intend for it to be. But to let, you know, excellence come out in a simple way and touch people. And so, you know, I do have some albums that I do a lot of crazy stuff, and some people pay me to do that stuff when we play live. But I still think I'm doing it, like, to celebrate the Lord.
Yeah.
There's a time when I did it to celebrate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but just dealing with that whole thing, that's where it is, but probably 3 or 4 months into it.
And how did Living Sacrifice come about and your participation in it?
Well, it's kind of a, you know, funny story. We were, I was in this, you know, little band trying to do stuff, you know, 14, 15, and a youth leader gave me a number. He said, hey, here's these are some guys I know. They got long hair, and you ought to invite them to come see your little band. And so I cold called one of the guys, and he was still half asleep, and Bruce answered the phone. I was like, hey, my name's Jason, and you don't know me, but I've got a little band, and I heard you guys might like some of the heavier rock music, and that's what we're trying to do, and we're Christians, and we're kids. And well, they came. I was surprised, but they showed up, and so we did our little show, and they came up afterwards and said, well, you know, y'all's band was terrible, but we like you. I know. And anyway, so we just kind of hit it off, and I said, well, we're just kind of playing around. We're no one's serious here. So, I've got some songs. Let me come hear you guys. And so I went by their, jam room at Lance's house, at his parents' house in the garage. And so we started playing some music, and that was in September of 89. And they said, well, why don't you join our band? And so we did, and put three little tunes together and scraped up $100 and made a little demo. And the singer in the band at that time was really good with PR. Like, I'm not really good at that, but he was great. And anyway, sent it out, and a band that was on this independent label out of Nashville called REX heard it, liked it, and then next thing you know, like I said, I walk into the jam room when at 17, they said, hey, we got signed. I don't even know what that meant. Hmm. And so that's how I got introduced to those guys, and we're still buddies.
Well, praise God. And where were you again, mentally and spiritually, in regard to the Lord at that point? Were you mainly a nominal believer, would you say, that was interested but not yet perhaps born again? Or where were you in your life, do you think?
I think we were really, like, I think initially when we got together, we were all very zealous about our faith. But we were also, you know, honest about the difficulties and the things that we didn't understand. So a lot of times, in the very beginning, we got together and played because we didn't want to go to the rest of the parties that everybody else was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, well, maybe if we get together and, like, jam. And it wasn't like we were hiding, but you remember, we were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, can we play? And we did, like, you know, skateboarding and stuff. And so it's like, well, can we play, you know, this heavy music and make it about our faith and really be adamant about it?
Mm.
And so even at that point, I think we were really specific about, you know, not being what we had seen Christian music be, and all due respect to Christian music, but there was kind of a template for that.
Yeah.
We didn't fit that template.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of threw all that out and said, you know what, maybe we just go do our music and we're believers, and if mm-hmm. it's not in a church, then okay. So I think we were, you know, as far as, like, studying, we probably did read more than most 16 or 17 year olds
mm-hmm.
would do, reading scripture. But, you know, there's always the struggles at those age and then the doubts, because, you know, a lot of times we're taught to run away from doubt. But I really think we should run into it,
mm-hmm.
hit it head on. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to pin down, Chris, on how I know that I prayed a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I wrestled with things. And I think the fact that I was wrestling with it aggressively, I knew that the Lord was still pulling me closer to Him and removing, you know, some of the things you're taught, some of the ideologies that you think, you know, more of the way of life stuff, or I think it just was after the relationship, and that wrestling kind of brings it about. Like, why do I still want to do the things that I shouldn't do? And to more, I go to the Lord with that. Well, why am I still interested in what the world has to offer?
Mm.
And He would gently meet me there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, one of the reasons I even asked the question was, years ago, I had an interesting phone conversation with Pete Orta. I don't know if you know Pete, but he is a guitarist and singer, and was with Petra, one of the premier Christian rock bands. And Pete told me years later, obviously after not being with Petra anymore, he told me that he is certain that he was not a born-again Christian during those years. And he said that he even was not a Christian personally. I'm not talking about the rest of the band. He doesn't even believe he was a Christian, a born again Christian, when he came out with a solo album called Born Again.
Wow.
But he had some interesting things to say about his disappointments in the Christian music industry and the things he witnessed and so on. And perhaps one day, God willing, we'll have Pete on as well. But I want to go to another one of your songs.
Okay.
From the CD. This is All Creatures of Our God and King.
Ooh, another good one.
And we hope that you enjoy this, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
That was the shortest version of that. Let's see if we get, let's see if it works right this time, because I'm not sure why it started. Praise God. That was All Creatures of Our God and King, performed by Jason Truby on his new CD, Hymns. And we're going to be going to a station break right now. And we do have several people already anxiously waiting to have their questions answered by our guests. So we thank you for your patience. We'll get to your questions as soon as we can after the station break. But if you'd like to join them as well on the air, with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And we look forward to hearing from you, whether you're a Christian, whether you are Jewish, whether you are Muslim, whether you are agnostic, whether you are atheist, whether you're Swedenborgianist. We hope that anybody listening with a question for Jason sends us an email. And I have a quiz. I'm going to give Jason a quiz, and he can answer my question possibly when we come back from the break. But my question is, what famous, he's not really that famous, but he's a very well, highly respected rock guitar player from the 70s, 80s, perhaps even spilling into the 90s, who is no longer with us. But when I was a teenager, was one of my favorite rock and roll guitarists, and his guitar is actually in the background of this ad that I'm about to play from one of our sponsors, World Magazine. So I want to see if Jason can pick up who this is. I'm just dying to find out. Perhaps Jason has never even heard of this guitarist, but I think that he probably has. But we'll find out in a little bit after we return. But here's a word from our sponsors, World Magazine.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new Topical Reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you just tuned into Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest today is Jason Truby, former lead guitarist for Living Sacrifice, former member of POD, and performer with Phil Keaggy. And if you'd like to join us on the air, we are accepting questions via email at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we do have several of you waiting, whom I will get to momentarily. But do you have an answer to my question? I don't know if how clearly you heard the background guitar.
Well, it was hard to, Chris, it was hard to hear. Can you give me a band name?
Well, that would give it away.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't hear. It was because of the phone. It was staticky.
Okay.
So you're going to have to tell me, man.
And I'll have to send you a CD if you haven't heard this. But that was Ronnie Montrose.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The late Monty Montrose. He
passed.
He passed in 2012.
Yeah. Well, he was a good one, man.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites as a teenager, that's for sure. And but anyway, let me go to a couple of our listeners who have been waiting patiently, or as my frequent co-host, Reverend Buzz Taylor, says, how do you know they're waiting patiently? You can't see them. We have a listener from Kinross, Scotland, and perhaps Dr. James White can let me know if I'm mispronouncing that city. Kinross, it's just spelt phonetically, K-I-N-R-O-S-S. But he says, with regard to use of musical instruments, is there ever a dividing line between worship and entertainment? And if so, where would we find it?
That's a poignant question, and I'll do my best to attempt to answer my opinion of that. I do have a connection with Scotland. My brother was a missionary in Stirling for about 8 years. I got to spend time there. There is some great music. A quick answer for that. Personally, I believe the truest form of worship is obedience. And if we're obedient, then I don't think we have anything to worry about. As far as instrumentation is concerned, I've had it come up before where, well, if you use distortion on an amp, is that distorting the regular sound? Is that not worship anymore? Or if it's lead rock guitar, or it can drums be, or the particular churches that don't use instruments, only voices. And this is a pretty powerful question. But I think if you're in obedience in your heart, and you are playing unto the Lord, and I know the particular day and time when I said that everything I'm going to do from here on out, I'm going to play for the Lord. Even if I'm writing a song and the music is letting my wife know how much I love her, I'm still playing for the Lord. And so I think it comes down to, have I been compelled in the moment to do something, or am I doing something to be noticed? That being said, and I didn't get this young man's name.
Murray. His name is Murray. That's a first name from
Murray.
Yes. Okay. Ken Russell. We don't know if he's don't know if he's young. He could be 90. I don't know.
Yeah, we go assuming again. What's wrong with him? Well, Murray, I think it's really difficult to judge anyone else's. So I think in my case, I can go for what I do in my situations. And there are times when people pay me to entertain them musically, and I might be slapping harmonics and running arpeggio scales, but the Lord still made that format, and I'm still playing it for Him, even though it might razzle and dazzle the audience. Other than that, I think it's a question of your personal heart in the moment. And I will say this, because you probably are a musician, you learn the language so well so that in the moment you can speak freely. And that's why we study the music. I used to study it because of the desire to worship it. And then once I got corrected, now it's that I can worship freely through it. And it might be in a jazz moment with a friend and I'm just playing around. But it's still, I know the language enough that in the moment, if the Holy Spirit pushes me a direction to phrase something in a particular way, I think that's worship. And in some cases, it's because I decided I want to phrase it that way. And I think He still utilizes that as well. But as far as where that line is, I'm not sure any of us can truly pinpoint that. Hope that helps.
And we do have Tyler in Mastic Beach, Long Island, and he is using some pretty strong language here. I'm not sure. I don't mean by that vulgarity or profanity, but he's asking, why do you think so many Christians use heretical worship music such as Jesus culture, which is rooted in the damnable New Apostolic Reformation theology? I've heard that phrase, but I don't know much about New Apostolic Reformation theology, but I have heard about it and from some people who I respect who are very, very concerned about it. But anyway, do you have any comments on that?
That's got a lot of gravity to it there, Tyler. I approach those things with caution, Tyler, because there are some fires that I can't put out and that I didn't start. And I have a tendency to lean on what I need to be responsible for and what I've been compelled to do by the Holy Spirit, and then what other institutions or other musicians or other people attempt to do, right or wrong. If they want to talk to me about it, I will, but I don't think that that's something that I could particularly tackle appropriately.
Okay.
So, you know, in my case, I'm going to follow where the wind blows in front of me and do my best to be obedient in the moment, not bound by any particular genre or any dogma or otherwise. And but I also don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's all I'll say.
And you moved on from Living Sacrifice eventually to become a member of POD. What does POD stand for?
Payable on Death, which is actually a banking term. But the guys picked that out, another way to say you're going to reap what you sow in this life, and we got something waiting on the other side. And I can't take credit for that name because I wasn't in the band yet, but that's what it means.
Well, it's a heavy name. And tell us about your experiences there, and I understand from our conversation earlier, that's when you became acquainted with the son of my dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, his son Joshua, who is a deadly instrument now, a deadly weapon, a living deadly weapon, having become a martial arts expert. I don't know what the Krav Maga equivalent to a black belt is, or perhaps that is the same thing. Maybe it's a black belt. Do you know the Krav Maga?
I do not. I know that it's like a lethal. That's what I'll go with, lethal.
And I know that I think the CIA and the some of our American military are trained in this Israeli form of the martial art. But I know that that's where Joshua became familiar with who you were. But if you could tell us about POD and your meeting Joshua.
Yeah, well, you know, we were touring in the early days with the first band, and when we were out in the West Coast, POD would come on the road with us before I was in the band, and we, you know, had U-Hauls and vans and toured across the country, and you make good relationships, when you miss meals with people, you know? And anyway, I made a kind of a musical impact on them, and then after I had left Living Sacrifice, which I was very compelled to do at the time that I did, I came back to Little Rock, started teaching music, and really wasn't sure if I was going to be doing band or live music anymore. But after about a 2.5 year, maybe 3 year little hiatus, I got the proverbial phone call out of the blue, and they had the opportunity as a band to write the title track to the Matrix Reloaded movie, and their primary writer had left. So they were kind of in a spot, and they asked if I wanted to write that song. And so I said, sure. Hope everything's going well. I hadn't seen you in a while. We caught up. And so I quickly put a tune together. I rented that first Matrix movie, which was a trip, and watched it and was like, okay. And so wrote a song, sent it out. Long story short, it got accepted and made the title track. And they said, we want you to be in the band. And so I had to kind of assimilate to a band that already existed stylistically, but then also kind of bring my own character and musical diversity to it. And so that was very challenging and rewarding, but very difficult. And then they were very successful at the time. And so I was getting into something that I don't think you can truly be prepared for, but I kind of went in with high hopes, and you kind of figure things out. But anyway, we started touring off that first album, and I think we were going through Arizona, and I met Josh for the first time, and I cannot remember the club or venue, but in one of the meet and greets. And fast forward, I left the band in 2006 after several world tours and a couple of albums, and I just knew I needed to come back home and connect with family and my wife, and that my season and time there was complete. And anyway, then when I started teaching, I do some Skype sessions. Josh reached out to me, and then we made this, like, oh yeah, I remember meeting you, and one thing led to another, and he said his dad had liked my instrumental albums, which I started doing in about 2004, and we've been in sessions ever since. And I use his martial arts to teach. I'm like, the same concept, discipline and movement, and but he's doing really good. I'm proud of him.
Well, praise God for that. Let's play another one of your songs from the Hymns album. This is certainly no stranger to the vast majority of people, I think, living on the planet Earth, even those that are not Christian. Here is Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. That is beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a sweet little tune.
Oh, yeah. Amazing Grace, as performed by our guest today, Jason Truby. And that's from his new CD, Hymns. How many CDs do you actually have? Because I saw that you had some things that you actually cooperated with Phil Keggy on and other things.
Yeah. Let's see. I think that the Hymns album is my 8th album of my own after POD. Let's see, 4 instrumental albums, all of different variations. The last one before Hymns was an album called Passages, and I took passages of scripture and really meditated on them, thought about them, and then would construct pieces to capture what that was about. At least through my interpretation, and it's not all super happy, because there's a song called Lost on That, which kind of deals with grief And but then there's some, you know, beautiful ones about being a new creation, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just capturing that musically, it was a real neat project, and a lot of people enjoyed that to listen to, like, while they're reading. And then some of them are just instrumental albums where I'm doing fingerstyle guitar work, and Phil did a track with me on the Passages album, and then he did a track with me on a vocal album called Our Time Here, that I did in 2013. So probably about, 7 or 8 albums since COD days.
Well, great. And one thing I want to make as a part of my regular prayer life is I want, God willing, for you to meet and do a little jam with my older brother, Andy. My brother, Andy, who is 69, is sitting right now in a nursing home in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, nearby where I live. He had a stroke. A number of months ago, which left him paralyzed on his left side completely. And unfortunately, there's no noticeable improvement in that regard. But Andy was the most phenomenal and gifted guitar player that I had ever heard. He was in a band for probably most of the first half of his life, left that scene when he realized that drugs and other things were consuming his life and taking, and the music itself, performing in all parts of the country, was taking him away from his wife and children and destroying his marriage. So he gave it up professionally, but had the gift until he had this stroke. And I just hope that one day that he has the opportunity to pick up a guitar and sit down next to you and just do a little playing in the his living room or wherever he may be at the time. But
Chris, we should talk about figuring out a way to make that happen.
I would love that.
We maybe some listener wants to help facilitate that, or maybe someone on our end. I love doing things like that, and I hate to hear that he had the stroke and his lost part of the use of his body. But, you know, I know those ears work, and that's all you need for a good jam.
Mm. He also tragically had to, when he fell into serious financial hardship, sold every single one of his guitars, even before he had the stroke. And he had a really beautiful collection of guitars.
Oh, that's too bad.
And I'm sure that they were guitars. See, I don't know anything about musical instruments because I'm not a musician at all. There were definitely guitars, I think, that you would have recognized and probably would have drooled over if you saw them.
Well, I'm sure he used them well while he had the opportunity to, and maybe something will come along in the future, even if it's just one good one that he can have. But yeah, man, be praying about that. And if something, if we're able to make that happen, I would be happy to.
Now, I don't know if you're feeling better to stick around for the second hour, because you were claiming earlier. When I say claiming, I don't mean you were making it up. You were saying that you weren't feeling well before.
Strategy, Chris.
you informed me before the show that you didn't feel well enough to do 2 hours because of a sickness you're going through. I don't know if that's.
No, I've got a little chest cold, but I've got, I think I can try to stick around a little bit longer if you would like. I've got one little thing I can reschedule. For some reason, I thought it was an hour, but you know what? If you're okay with me hanging around.
Yeah, I would love for you.
I had to sneak out a little early, but let me see if I can do the whole thing.
Well, that's great. That's fine with me. And let me now. First of all, let me also repeat our email address if anybody would like to join us on the air. That is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And we would love to hear from you, even if you are not a Christian, whatever your walk in life happens to be right now, whether you're a musician or not. But I want to play another excerpt from your CD, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past."
Yeah.
And we hope that you sit back, those of you listening, and enjoy the music. If you're driving, please don't close your eyes and drift off into another realm. But here we go with "O God, Our Help in Ages Past."
I think that one's starting at the end as well, bud.
Yeah, I could kind of tell that. That's interesting, brother. Well, I don't know why that happened again. And James White is laughing right now if he's listening because he knows how atechnical I am. So hopefully this is going to play from the beginning, and now I have it at zero. So
there you go.
Here we go with the... Well, for some reason, let's see if we can get it to start again. It's, for some reason, it stopped, brother. But what we heard... Oh, there we go. Well, I don't know what's the matter with the
MP3.
I'm not sure what's happening with the MP3. But what we heard was absolutely gorgeous. And we assure you, those of you listening, that on the CD, that's not going to happen.
It won't stop.
And I am going to give a shout-out now. That I dedicated that song to Jeremy Volo. Jeremy Volo, who used to be a professional soccer player with the San Antonio Scorpions, who's been a guest on my program, is now a pastor in Laredo, Texas. And he had me record recently the opening announcements for a new radio program that he hosts. And he,
wonderful.
And his favorite hymn is "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," and that was the theme music that we played not yours, because I wasn't even aware of your existence at the time, but we did use a instrumental version of that hymn, because that is Jeremy's favorite hymn.
And it's a beautiful hymn by Isaac Watts, wrote that in 1779. Been around for a while.
Now, have you done a lot of study on the lives of the hymn writers, of the songs that you play, of the hymns that you play?
Well, for this, not before this. I was aware of some of the details, but and I'd like to give you a little background, if it's okay, on this album.
Sure.
The original idea, excuse me, you know, I'll do some of these fingerstyle covers live, because, you know, I use a looper and make a bunch of little counter melodies, and it's real symphonic, and then I love these tunes, but my wife kind of mentioned one day that, hey, what if you did a full album of nothing but hymns, but did it more as a therapy for people that are sick? And I thought, oh, that's actually a really good idea. And so a dear friend of ours who wants to remain anonymous had a connection at a cancer treatment center here in Arkansas, and she said, well, we'd love to be a part of it, and we want to make it available to people to listen to while they're getting treatment at the cancer center, and they want to make it available to their staff. And so in talking to her, I thought, she said, we can make it really, really peaceful and make it for healing. And I said, well, you know, I can do my best. And then the one of the secondary reasons for being instrumental is that it's a chance for if there's people that aren't believers, or they have a different religion or no religion, that we're not segregating them from this, but at the same time maybe opening their eyes to it a little bit. The lyrics are in the CD. And so the first 1,000 units are being distributed quietly at a cancer treatment center here in Little Rock.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, praise God for that.
So anyway, in that process, I thought, well, I'm going to narrow it down to 10 hymns, because there's a lot of hymns. And in that research, one, the format in a style that I could do for acoustic guitar appropriately, but the stories are pretty profound. And it wasn't necessarily, I mean, I had my favorite, some that I played a lot, but then some that I just thought were really melodically peaceful, but then the lyrical content was really poignant, like Come Back Fount. It's by Robert Robinson. That's also in 1775. And just that idea that, man, these people are sick. They need that. And that reminders that, you know, holy, 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 that's who he is. And then the story behind that, Reginald Heber in 1861. And then even St. Francis, you know, he wrote All Creatures of Our God and King in 1225. And, you know, the lyrics to all of these are really what drew me to him. And then melodically, and then as simple as like doxology. But yeah, looking at the stories, a lot of it came through grief. Some people lost loved ones, and then out of the moment they find out that they've lost their wife and child, they write that everything's well with their soul. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so the stories, and then it helps me with complacency, because we're on the shoulders of giants, in my opinion, who didn't have all of the creature comforts that we have. And, you know, I think they had a clear channel lyrically. Not that there's, I mean, there's great worship songs right now, so I don't mean anything negative by this statement, but there just seemed to be a clear channel, with the marriage of melody and lyric, and the passion behind that, to think about their relationship with God. It's very much like Psalms. They're honest about the pain that they're dealing with and how they feel about it, and then putting their faith, and then I know God's going to get me through this, and he's my sustainer. And that's kind of why I picked them. You know, that's the best I can tell you is how I picked them.
And praise God. We do have a listener, Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, which providentially, that is actually a town where James White spent a lot of his childhood and was baptized.
Oh, wow.
In Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. But Harrison asks, do you think that anyone can learn an instrument, or do you think that it is a God-given gift that you have especially?
Yes.
Well, I guess anybody could learn it, but could you learn it very, very well? I mean, just like, you know, people can learn the basics of a sport or something.
Sure, yeah. Well, you hit my analogy right on the head. As a teacher, and I've got quite a few students, I think helping people understand their capacity for music and to be able to reach their potential in it, and that's relative to each person. I do think that it is for everybody. And I think we find that out through children, because my kids will bang around on their little pianos and it makes no sense whatsoever, but they begin to eliminate the things a little bit at a time, and or it's like painting or sculpting. But there is a language to it, there is a discipline to it that takes an investment. Why all the wiring in me was designed to see that but I do think a lot of it was innate and it was God-given, but at the same time, you have to work that and cultivate it and through trial and error, and it's just like faith. And I don't think we ever arrive, so I think that's pretty important. Like, I think if I figured it all out, I'd probably stop playing. And if all of a sudden I have full enlightenment of what everything is, I don't know if I keep seeking it. Maybe I would. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say that. But as far as instruments, I say if you pick it up and you're passionate about language of the soul, and Bach put it best, that the sole purpose of music is to glorify God and edify the soul. And then you begin to work on the structure that, you know, man has harnessed the instrument for, but God made the language. The language is there before we did the instrument. And so, thinking in that viewpoint, I think that everybody would have the capacity, but if I wanted to be a linebacker in the NFL, I could practice football all day long, but I'm 5'9", 145 pounds, I'd get killed. Like, I could have the passion for it all day long and work and work and work. But if somebody, coached me into my potential, then I could be really good for whatever the ceiling of my potential is.
Right.
So, yeah, so I think Harrison, I think you go for it, man, and you pick up the instrument and you play and you study, and if you just feel like the freedom is not there, then maybe it's a different institution you're supposed to worship with.
Well, perhaps Harrison was trying to persuade his ungifted child not to be playing so he wouldn't have to waste money on the instrument.
You're like, yeah, I think it's Jason, give me a better answer.
Well, I'm going to play. I hope it plays all the way through. And I'm not sure why we were having difficulty before, but a song that has become my favorite hymn, that I'm not sure if it was when it was written if it had this melody, but I love the melody as well. But a number of years ago in New York City, I was at a Bible conference and they sang "Before the Throne of God Above," and I had never before heard it. For some reason, it's not in the Trinity hymnal that many Reformed churches have, and I had never seen it in any of the hymnals of my previous churches before we had the Trinity, and I have just fallen in love with this hymn. I remember when I first heard it, I began uncontrollably weeping.
That's great.
And
well, you know, it was written by a woman.
Yes.
Charity Lee Bancroft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an absolute, I'm with you on this one. The original title was called The Advocate.
Okay.
I'll do that.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, when it was written in 1863. Yeah, I really, really like this tune. It's a good one.
Well, let's hope that this plays all the way through.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
Praise God. That was a beautiful version of that hymn, which is my favorite hymn, Before the Throne of God Above, by our guest, Jason Truby, on his CD, Hymns. Just out of curiosity, Jason, was that last part intentionally sounding Asian? Because it did have an...
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good, actually. Good ear. I actually, like, over my travels and touring and I told you earlier that the Lord brought our children to us through adoption, but I kind of find instruments that I like along the way, and there's two instruments I used on that. One is a koto, which is a Japanese plucked stringed instrument.
I had it for lunch, actually.
Oh, nice. It goes good with teriyaki sauce. It's a hard one. It's a shakuhachi is how you say it, but it's a wood flute. And I use that wood flute at the end of that song because I just thought it's neat from time to time to incorporate cultural influence. And I just felt compelled to on that one.
Well, if you don't mind, I just want to, as quickly as I can, read the lyrics to that hymn so that our listeners know why this was such a profound hymn to me. In fact, I discovered it providentially after leaving alcohol rehab. I went to a Christian alcohol rehab in Boone, North Carolina. I had been sober for 18 years after becoming a born-again Christian, and after that 18-year period, I tragically slided back into alcohol abuse and signed into that ministry and have not touched a drop of alcohol since leaving there. And I understand that,
and I understand that
many of my brethren have the liberty to moderately partake in wine and so forth, but I know I can't. But anyway, when I left that place, and providentially was at a Bible conference in Manhattan when I heard that hymn, God uncorked a river that just started flowing down my face and onto my chest. And the lyrics go like this. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. If you can hear that hymn sung by gifted singers, even if it's a crowd of folks in a church that have never been trained, and you are not moved by that hymn, I don't know, there must be something really, really wrong with you. But
you hit it. It is powerful, poignant, and I know the first time I heard that song, and just for the record, it's 10 years that I haven't had any alcohol.
Praise God.
And in similar circumstances as you, and there's just those of us that's poison for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not poison to someone else, fine. It's like a diabetic that can't have sugar, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that through that process for me, and I did hear this song at an Anglican church for the first time. Helping out with a recovery program. It's funny that you would mention that. But, it just gets back to the desire and appetite that we're seeking something that is not here.
Mm-hmm.
And then this song deals with that and that it's taken care of. And that's as good as it gets. And then, you know what's great, Chris, and all of a sudden it sounds a little preachy, but we can live a life of gratitude in serving the Lord instead of a life of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
That changed the way I approached all of that. And And it's liberating. And that's what Jesus came to do. But anyway, I really like, that's one of my favorites on there. And then, you know, having connections to Southeast Asia, I just felt like putting a little twist on it.
Well, that was wonderful. In fact, in the remaining half hour after the break, I would like you to talk about adoption, which is a subject that's very near and dear to your heart.
Yeah.
And before we take the final break of the show, I just want to go into the hymn, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, that will go right into our break, and then we will return with Jason to discuss why adoption is such a powerful thing on his heart and mind today. Don't go away.
Great.
That was Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing by Jason Truby, another one of the beautiful hymns on his new CD, simply titled Hymns. We'll be right back with our final station break, so don't go away, and email us if you'd like with a question for Jason Truby.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars.
Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Attention coin collectors and investors. Long Island Galleries of Wading River, New York has brilliant, uncirculated 19th century Morgan silver dollars for only $54 per coin, with free shipping and handling for a limited time. There's a 40-coin limit, so order now while supplies last. Call 888-260-8111. 888-260-8111. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express welcome. Prices subject to change, so call now at 888-260-8111. 888-260-8111. If you prefer ordering your brilliant, uncirculated 19th century Morgan silver dollars by check, mail it today to Long Island Galleries, 9 Susan Drive, Wading River, New York, 11792. That's Long Island Galleries, 9 Susan Drive, Wading River, New York, 11792. Remember, they're only $54 per coin with free shipping and handling and a 40-coin limit. New York State residents must add sales tax. Long Island Galleries is honored to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. See the Long Island Galleries display ad at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, thanks be to God, since we were only planning on one due to our guest feeling under the weather, but thankfully we are able to press forward till the end, God willing, with Jason Truby, who is a Christian guitarist extraordinaire, and we are discussing his new CD, Hymns. We've been playing some excerpts of it, and we've been hearing more about him, his testimony of Christian faith, And we're going to be moving on in a minute to our discussion on why adoption is such an important part of his life right now. But before we do that, I have a question to ask about the last hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, towards the end. I was reminded of one of the most beautiful versions of Amazing Grace, second only to Jason Truby's version. But have you ever heard, I'm not even sure Hubert Laws was a Christian, or is a Christian, because he may still be alive. But Hubert Laws came out, he's a flautist, and he came out with an album in the 1970s, I believe, called Morning Star. And he has a version of Amazing Grace on that. If you have not heard it, you've got to hear Hubert Laws' Amazing Grace played with the flute and perhaps some other wind instruments in there. And it's from the album Morning Star. Just my very strong recommendation, which, by the way, I discovered through my older brother, Andrew Arnzen, that I mentioned earlier. And he, many years ago, introduced that version of Amazing Grace to me. So I just thought I'd ask you
I just wrote that down, Chris, because that's actually a Native American wood flute that I used on the end of it. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard his, but there's something about woodwinds and single melodies like that that are just really powerful.
Yeah, you definitely, when you hear Hubert Laws doing it, you definitely get the aura, the sound, as if a Native American Christian is out in the woods playing it. So
yeah, well, there's something peaceful and it's like deeply peaceful about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so it's just, I didn't want the album to be too one dimensional, even though the central thread is guitar work. But you know, playing the wood flutes is kind of fun.
Praise God. Well, we had already announced that we were going to discuss why adoption is such an important part of your life right now. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you know, it came through necessity at first. And, you know, sometimes that's how, as we walk through this life, you know, the Lord can get our attention. Anyway, me and my wife got married really young. She was 19, I was 21. And we're going on tour with the first band together. And then as time to start our family, you know, we had some pretty bad complications. And so then all of our friends are getting pregnant and having kids. And it was just a really trying time for us, and especially for her, this desire to have biological children. And so we found out that that was not going to be a possibility. And that she may have to get some surgery, and just kind of a double whammy. And, you know, in those moments, you don't know what to say. There's all the colloquialisms and the Christian verses, and I know, and I don't belittle it because God gave us that, but there's moments where you just need to cry or you need to grieve with someone. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. But literally, 3 days after that grieving moment, I had been talking with a friend about the fact that when Abraham was taking Isaac up the mountain, there was a ram going up the other side that he wasn't aware of. And I just knew that God had to have something for us. I didn't know what it was, but a friend met me for lunch, and he said, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but there's some friends of ours we ran into, and there's a little girl that we've come in contact with, and are y'all interested in adoption? And I just, you know, hadn't even crossed my mind, Chris. And so I called my wife, and literally a week later, that child was placed with us. And we went through this crash course home study, had no idea what we were doing. And we were thrust into the world of adoption. And at that time, it took every cent that I had. There was no big album sales. There was no hit singles. There was nothing. And so, and I had already left the other band. So I had started a little company, was teaching. But when we got through that process and we went through the court stuff and we went through all the home studies, and then here's this child, and now this was my daughter, then me and my wife just prayed at the time, if this is what you want us to do, then give us the means to do it, because we'll build our family this way, and I'll be an advocate for it every step of the way, because I really see how God adopted us. It makes sense to me. And then the band called, and then the funds became available, and so we knew, well, we're going to adopt our second. And so Elijah came along, and we had the finance and went through the process, and next thing you know, we were able to be there at birth for Elijah, which was wonderful for us. And then our heart was led to go overseas. And since my wife is half Thai and her mom's from Thailand, we thought, well, maybe that's where we should go. And so we went through a very tedious process and a huge dossier, years worth of work to get that. And then, in comes our second son and our third child, and we knew that's what we needed to do. And so anyway, along the way, there were some agencies that came along that we got connected with, and sometimes I would do music for them. And in 2012, we did an album called Grafted. We had a lot of special artists come in and do some music for that helped a local agency that's involved with foster care, called Project Zero, and then got hooked up with an organization called Hope for Orphans, and just did some touring with them, and they really help out in facilitating helping the people that have to stay in those countries and raise the orphans, as well as help those that want to adopt and deal with the issues that all of these young people have. And like we were talking about earlier, it may not be the only unreached people group, but I think one of the last unreached people group is going to be the orphan, because there's no one in their life that's telling them about the Lord.
Mm.
Or they're scooped up into, militia groups, or they're scooped, like they're targeted. Like, and the enemy hates them because reminds him that there was a little baby that upset his plan and after him. And so I know, like, I can't adopt them all, but that's how the Lord had us build our, and then the last one, we adopted 3 years ago at birth, and so we have four kids now, and they're beautiful and wonderful, multicultural, and all of them have their level of their relationship with the Lord. And so in some ways, it's like you're doing a lot of different things at once that are way beyond me. I'm just trying to be a dad. But the gospel getting into people that might have never even left that part of the world, and their influence, and now hearing my voice saying, maybe I need to go back to Chiang Mai or Bangkok and tell people about Jesus. I mean, it's got a ripple effect far beyond me. And so a need got met. Chris, I'm sorry I'm being long-winded, but a need got met for our family structure and all the things that the Lord had for us. And so now there's sons and daughters that I didn't think I would have. And then young humans in the kingdom that may or may not have been, that are going to go influence another part of the world because we love their heritage and want them to keep their heritage. And so it's just neat watching how God took something really broken in our life that was painful and frustrating and full of grief and decided to use it in a different way. And it wasn't necessarily the answer to the prayer that I was asking, but it was it was an answer and profound. And so we help out a lot of agencies that are wanting to put the right couple with the right child. And adoption, by the way, is not for everyone as far as the literal action of it, being connected to it, or maybe financially supporting it, or spiritually, or praying for couples, or helping couples that if you have a child that's got reactive attachment disorder or that has these abandonment scars and issues that are deeply seated inside of them spiritually, and they weren't prepared properly, and they don't know what they're doing, and their child's out of control. You can rally around and create groups to make it all possible for that to be successful.
Well, praise God. Well, if the Lord opens up that door for you to come out to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and jam with my brother Andy, the stroke patient that I was telling you about, there's going to be somebody else who joins in the jam. That's my friend Brian Richardson, and he may be listening. Brian and his wife Robin adopted two children from Haiti
And, oh, wonderful.
And during Brian's trips to Haiti with his wife was already a Christian. Brian was not. In fact, he was very hostile against Christianity, but loved his wife. And he would go on these trips, missions-related trips to Haiti and involving doing work at orphanages and so on. And they fell in love with a biological brother and sister who they adopted, and those are two beautiful, precious kids. And Brian is also a guitar player, so it would be nice for you and Brian and my brother to jam together if God opens
up. That would be great. That would be wonderful. And you know what's so cool is, well, I'd say cool, that's a loose slang term. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hmm.
And then having a completely biracial family,
mm-hmm.
and where I live, and with all of the things happening in our culture, it has an effect. And then sometimes we have to deal with things. It's just part of it. But, you know, the Lord's vision for what he wants to do with his church and what he wants to do on, you know, it's on earth as it is in heaven. And we don't have it perfect at all, and so I don't mean it like that. But it's really great to see that, you know, the Lord would take some, and believe it or not, very introverted little Caucasian boy who had some affinity for music, and now I've got Hispanic, Thai, biracial children and a half-Thai wife in the middle of the South. And then I still get to share music. It's just, you know, I couldn't have planned it. There's no way I could have scripted any of this.
Mm.
And then the same thing with Brian, and here's these two children from Haiti that he has, you know, grafted into his family, and they're his. And there's no question about the love, or like, it doesn't, like, this, the color disappears. And I just think that brings around change when people watch, because it's not an act, or you can't pretend that, you know, you can't love on kids like a dad, and you can't pretend that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see that it's not the same hair color or skin color or eye tone. And they know, and then they just have to wonder, well, why in the world would you do this? You know, why wouldn't you just get a lake house, you know, instead of spending all the money it takes to do it? And because, you know what? This is kingdom stuff. If you have a lake house, great. But it, for us, we were compelled to do that for a particular reason. And anyway, I would love to meet Brian and Jan with both of those guys. That would be awesome.
We do have a listener in Augusta, Maine, John, who says, have you ever studied the therapeutic effects of music on those who have learning disabilities and other types of challenges in life? I have been amazed by documentaries I've seen about them.
You know, I had someone recently ask me about healing frequencies, and I think it's called the Foligio tune, something like that. I may be pronouncing it wrong. Sofligio tone. But I do believe that there is some validity to that. I don't know how much of it, you know, there might be some placebo effect, but...
Well, even the mechanics of singing and so on, for instance... I know that through, like documentaries and things that I've seen, that the part of the brain that controls singing is different than the part that controls speaking. That's why you have people who are stutterers when they speak, who do not stutter when they sing. And,
yeah.
And I've heard that children with autism and other things have learned how to speak more properly and understandably by singing phrases and things like that, and it has like strengthens a certain ability in the brain to communicate and so on.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one facet of it that is solid. The other side, I think, I was thinking more a little more ethereal, but there is calming qualities to particular tones,
mm-hmm.
and it gets back to the thing we were talking about earlier. One of the things that haunted me in trying to figure out God was answered because a minor chord was sad. It was vibrations put together that made every human feel sad, no matter how old, no matter what. And that was an absolute that just bugged me. And that if you moved one note in it, it made everybody feel high. It lifted the atmosphere. It was magical. Mm-hmm. And then something had to create that. And that led me, but that's true. So, you know, it doesn't mean that like rock and roll and all that stuff is necessarily bad, but it does create some anxiety, or, you know, anger or frustration or rally or zest. But then there's like the fourth blues and long drawn out peaceful melodies can soothe a child who has sensory overload issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you play busy Bach music for a person like me, and my brain gets really, really active.
Mm-hmm.
But for autism, in which my daughter has, that, like, we need to go for long, drawn out, like, things that are going to soothe the brain, and then, yes, getting the other stuff to help the speech impediments. And, absolutely. I mean, you know why, though, Chris? Because God made this.
Mm-hmm.
All we're doing is harnessing what He originally designed it to do. And, so I don't really think we can take a lot of credit for it. Which is kind of cool. It takes the weight off.
Well, I guess that 18th century English poet who said, "Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast," I guess that's actually true.
I think it is. And all they were doing was taking note of something that they saw happen. They harnessed something. It did this in people. And that's why, like, music theory is difficult to teach. It's not because music theory is vague. It's because human language is vague in capturing what music does. And I think in some cases, faith is a very similar institution.
And by the way, John in Augusta, Maine, since you're a first-time questioner, we're going to send you out a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the New American Standard Bible. So you need to give us your full mailing address, and we'll get that out to you as soon as possible. Thanks to our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com, who ship out all of our winners' books at no expense to Iron Sharpens Iron. And we thank Todd and Patty Jennings for being faithful supporters of Iron Sharpens Iron. And we also, as I said, thank the publishers of the New American Standard Bible for sponsoring this program ever since 2006 when we first went on the air. Their website is nasbible.com, nasbible.com. In fact, providentially, you heard earlier on a mutual friend of my guest and mine, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, did the voice for their ad. So, but John, you might also want to know that the Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine is coming up. They sponsor our program as well, Fellowship Conference New England. That's August 4th through the 6th at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And my friend, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, who is the pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, is one of the speakers. There's at least four speakers there. And I promise you that you will have a wonderful time of worshiping and hearing the word preached and taught and fellowshipping with some dear brethren in Christ. If you're able to go to that, that's August 4th through the 6th at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. I don't know how close that is to Augusta, but website is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. I want to play one more of your songs from the CD, Jason, Holy, 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 another one of my favorites, and I hope that those of you listening, just sit back and worship the Lord as you hear our very gifted brother in Christ, Jason Truby, perform this beautiful, cherished hymn on the acoustic guitar. Thank you. Hallelujah. That is absolutely beautiful. That was Holy, Holy, Holy by our guest, Jason Truby, from his new CD, Hymns. And we have been interviewing Jason Truby for the last, nearly the last 2 hours. We're drawing quickly to the conclusion of those 2 hours, and we just are so delighted that the Lord enabled him to stick in there with the extra hour that we weren't anticipating because of his health today. I love that hymn. Sounds so nice. They sang it thrice. Holy, holy, holy. And that sounded like to me, unless I'm just completely off base with my genius switch today, that sounded like there was a lot of influence from the African continent.
Yes, I'm actually using a rosewood percussive instrument that has this really, really deep, warm tone, and yeah, you got that one right. And there's little hints of culture in each tune. I'll just kind of throw that out there.
Sure.
Sometimes I don't even really mention that, but if you have ears to hear it, yeah, this one just kind of spaced that song out, and some neat things happened at the end of that track. I really liked that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I loved every single thing that I've heard by you, brother. And I just want to, before we run out of time, I want to make sure our listeners have your website URL. It's jasontruby.com. And Truby is spelled T-R-U-B as in boy, Y. That's jasontruby.com. That's T as in Thomas, R-U-B as in boy, Y. And that's an interesting name. What ethnic origin is that?
Well, we are, a cornucopia of basically a mutt, but that originated probably French and English primarily, but then we have, Irish. My dad has some OKC background. So other than that, I don't have a lot of heritage about Truby. There's not a lot of us, but I will say this. The ones that I have come across were in Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah, and two or three contacted me over the last couple of years, just wondering if we had any family connections, and they were from Pennsylvania. So I'm thinking that maybe we came down south from Pennsylvania originally.
Well, I'm going to adopt your last name into my own use of slang. I'm going to adopt a new usage for it. Instead of being a wannabe Christian, be a Truby.
Truby or not Truby, right?
It's always better to be a Truby than a wannabe. But,
there you go, yeah. A true B, and just put like a B flat or something on it. That's wonderful, man.
Well, I would like you, in the 3 minutes we have left, to really leave our listeners with what you most want etched in their hearts and minds before they leave the program today.
Well, besides the Hymns album and all the things that the Lord has us do as followers of Christ, for me, understanding that experiential, personal doorway of Jesus to get to the throne room of God is for everybody, and it doesn't segregate. And the encounter that we seek through everything else in this life, that doorway presents and starts at the beginning start, and salvation in all the ways that we put this into our own human language. For me, it was the ability for the Holy Spirit to take residence inside of my life, even though I'm baffled by the fact that it would want to. And then everything else that I am seeking gets in its right place, and every time I get off track, it reminds me and gently loves me through grace into who I am. I do believe that my image is hidden in the Maker, and He reveals a little bit more of it every day. And I have not arrived. I don't have all the answers, apologetically or otherwise, but I do know that I've experienced the truth, and that's unarguable. And I love those that haven't. And I would encourage everyone to be honest about where they really are. The young people that have come through my life, there's a lot that have felt the need to pretend that they've had the encounter because they're inside of a particular environment where they're expected who have already had that experience, and they raise their hands in church and they read their Bible, but they haven't had it. And I think being honest with the Lord about that and honest with other people allows for that encounter to happen. And when the Holy Spirit does show up and give you the, hey, take it or leave it, then the ball's in your court. But I do know that He loves us. He's summoning us. He's pursuing us. I know in my case, He haunted and romanced me at the same time. And He deeply loves every person, regardless of the ism that they're connected to, whether they're reformed or not reformed. No matter what their belief system is, He's pursuing us. And I encourage everyone to surrender to that in a personal way. And I hope that they have a similar awakening and rebirth that I know I experienced. And I love everybody regardless. And the music is for everybody. This album is for everyone. If you're not a believer, I'm not offended by that. You can listen to this album, and I hope you enjoy just the music.
Praise God, brother. We are out of time, and I know that your website, again, is jasontruby.com, jasontruby.com. I hope to have you come back soon, and I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. I hope you have a safe and Christ-centered weekend. God bless.
Amen.